Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thanks for joining me here live on Real Liberty Media. Yeah, that intro was a little messed up. Probably nobody's going to care, especially when it's all done, because when it goes up on the web, that whole part won't even be on there, which will be awesome. Hang on one sec, but I have some interesting health news for you guys. Hopefully it'll be helpful. And I have a little video that I'm going to talk over, because when this does go up on BitChute or Rumble, you'll be able to see, and I think I'll do a good enough job explaining what's going on, that it'll be fine. It'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong? Okay, but let's get back to the standard intro here. Oh, of course, I probably don't have it. Yeah, I probably don't have it, but this is Doc Mike. You're listening to Right on the Left Coast. It's a podcast about the Ravenwood Homestead Saturday. Man, it's been a great week. I think for a lot of reasons, it's been a great week. One is I'm finally over whatever that was bugging me for a couple weeks. And, you know, the weather's kind of been awesome for us. Oh, let me go back and cover some things first. Number one. Hal Anthony has a show called Behind the Woodshed every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. I'm telling you, you got to listen to him. 2 hours packed full of information. And, man, he does a good job. That guy never misses an intro, that's for sure. Oh, well. You know what? The main thing is I'm having fun. And I think that's, well, it may be the most important thing, although I really kind of am into, we got to have some access to food, which we're going to talk about today, kind of like always, but it's important. But man, lately I have been increasing the fun factor like tremendously. I'm going to tell you kind of a funny story about work this week, but don't forget Hal Anthony Behind Woodshed. Every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern time, he will be on tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time, and he's going to lay it on us again, man. That guy does such a great job kind of covering topics and connecting topics and giving his opinion, which is, you know, I think pretty well informed. So let's do that. If you're on a social media site of whatever kind, if you could post that we are live, it always helps, because we like more listeners and bring people into the chat room if they want to join the chat room. We're old school here. We use IRC, which I think is awesome, because everything else seems to be controlled in one way or another. Man, it's getting crazy. I kind of wonder what you guys' opinion is on money. I really would like some feedback on this whole idea of, you know, money, because, you know, like, if you think about it, you know, some people are saying just take your cash and stuff it in, you know, in your mattress, bury it in your yard, whatever, keep it on hand. And I guess, I don't know, does that make any sense whatsoever? I mean, if you think about hyperinflation, it's going to take so many dollars to buy anything. The dollars that you put in the ground are just dollars. And you're not going to have a million of them. You're going to have 100 of them or thousands of them. And with hyperinflation, it's just stupid that the cost would be so high. Said, but, you know, it's not safe to keep it in a bank. That's for damn sure. Just looking at what you have seen happen over the last few weeks. Well, in the last few years, with banks, you know, closing off people's access to their own money because the bank didn't like what people were saying, or the government didn't like what people were saying or how they were acting, so they just cut off their funds. Yeah, that's, it's not right, but, you know, there's really nothing you can do about it. So I'm just kind of wondering, man. You know, when I think about silver and gold, I think it's great to have some hard assets. You know, it does kind of help buffer that whole hyperinflation thing, because when hyperinflation happens, the value of gold and silver will, you know, reflexively go up. You know, and having things to trade, like a skill, you know, being an electrician, being a woodworker, being a, you know, handy person or whatever, is you know, you could trade that skill for food, which is going to be important. But I just don't know about that whole money thing, man. It really has me kind of has me stumped. I'm doing a little bit of everything, I guess. I have very little money going into the market, although I might actually have to change that just for tax purposes, for crying out loud. And, you know, we're keeping some stuff in cash and some stuff in, you know, hard assets. I don't know. It's just a crazy time we're living in, but I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about my life lately, but I've just decided I'm going to be having more fun. No matter what it is, I'm going to put more fun time in my days. So let me tell you this kind of funny story. So, I do have a dog named Dexter, the serial killer. Oh, yeah. Okay, this is actually a funny story. You know, normally when you buy a dog, or get a dog, you know, you give them a name. And I did talk about this name before on the show because it's kind of funny, and only dental people will really get this. But so Rochelle and I bought this Australian Shepherd, mini Australian Shepherd, and his name on his papers was Dexter. And what's funny is the little, so when you're in the dental field, you use this little kind of a mannequin head with teeth that you can put in and work on. And, you know, it's kind of a weird critter. But anyway, its name is Dexter. So we decided, because we both had worked in the dental field, that we would just leave Dexter's name Dexter. And then, yeah, I did watch that serial killer series called Dexter. That was pretty interesting. But no, Dexter, our Dexter is not a serial killer, at least not yet. Yeah, so that's the story behind Dexter. And the reason that came up is because somebody heard my video start to play in the intro. And it starts out with Dexter, which is cool. And I think Dexter and Bear and Ruby all made it in this video, even though I wasn't actually looking to get them. They all kind of appear in the video. So that's kind of cool. You'll be able to see three out of the four dogs we have in this video. But the real reason I did this video was to kind of help show, you know, oftentimes I talk about the updates that we're doing around here, the stuff we're doing around here, and I don't always get a chance to show it. So today I took the GoPro out and I did a little bit of a selfie and a little bit of walk around the property. And I cut out a bunch of stuff because I'll probably post the full video with my narration as I was making it, like the raw video and audio. I'll probably post that just for fun. But I cut out a bunch of space in the video for show purposes today because, you know, I mean, parts of it I'm just walking and it's 5 acres, so it takes a while to get around, you know, the property here sometimes. Anyway, so we'll get to that video in just a few minutes, maybe, I hope. Let's see, what else do I have going here? March Madness, man. I don't know if how many of you follow March Madness. It's the college basketball teams. It's the tournament that they determine the college basketball champion. And, man, it is a crazy year. I talked about a couple weeks ago, no, a week ago or so when it started. And, you know, immediately my bracket was just destroyed in the first round, which is always fun because because it's just funny to try and think you're going to pick the winner out of 64 teams, and one of the teams that you pick in the first round gets eliminated. That's always a good time. And there are no number one teams left in the NCAA men's basketball tournament right now. So that's kind of crazy. Usually a number one team makes it to the Final Four. And nope, the Final Four, the Elite Eight has been set. And yeah, it does free you up from caring, that's for sure. And you can just kick back and watch some games, and you have no, you don't care who wins or loses. You're just watching some great basketball. And man, I'm telling you, there has been some unbelievable games in this tournament. Like a lot of really close games. I think I was talking about this on the last show. I talked about the NCAA tournament a little bit, and I said, here's the deal now. It's like every school, there's so many good basketball players, they can't all go to good teams. So they end up going to, you know, other schools, which makes that school's basketball team a good team. Now, this is crazy because there are teams that, Princeton, of all places, they made it to yesterday. They were in the Sweet 16. Now, they didn't make it to the Elite Eight, but man, they gave the team a run for their money, you know, so they played three games, I think, in the tournament as a number 15, you know, versus a number one. And they did a really good job. Now, I don't care one way or another about Princeton, but it's kind of fun to watch a team that's number 15 knock off a couple favorites, you know, on their way through the tournament. That's pretty cool. Hey, let me get to this health thing because I'm feeling it. All right. I had a physical yesterday, and this is one of the few times I'm going to say I'm really glad I scheduled this physical, and it actually wasn't going to happen until April something. They called me and they said, hey, doctor's going to be out of the office that day, but he has an opening on Friday at noon. Could you come in? I was like, yeah, I can come in. I mean, I can't do the fasting thing because I'm not going to wait till noon to, you know, get my blood drawn. Fasting, and that's not a problem. I'll just, next Friday I'm going at 8 o'clock to get a fasting blood draw, and that'll be all fine. But let me tell you some stuff here, just in case those of you who, you know, are a few years behind me or whatever and may face these things in your own future. Some interesting findings that came out of my physical. I want to check something. I'll check a camera. Oh, yeah, good. No, it's good. We're ready to go. Okay, so if you've listened to me for any amount of time, you notice I have the cough, man. And I've even been complaining about it. Like, I don't know if it's allergy or, you know, something to do with having had a heart attack or having the COVID vaccine or whatever. Whatever it is, it has been bugging me. And so, of course, I brought it up during this physical. And it turns out, surprisingly or not, lisinopril actually causes you to cough. And it's like the, I don't want to say is the number one side effect of lisinopril, but apparently it is such a huge side effect that some people don't take their lisinopril because it makes them cough. And I'm not talking about the little cough that I have here once in a while where I say, hey, hang on a minute, I'll be right back, and I mute the mic if I'm lucky enough. I mean, sometimes you cough so hard it's like you're going to pass out. I mean, it's I was going to say it's not the fun kind of cough. I don't know if there is a fun kind of cough. Maybe after you hit the bong or something. I guess you're at least getting some pleasure from that one. But I guess bongs make you cough less anyway. But anyway, I was kind of glad to hear that. So I was, of course, asked the doc, I go, well, do they have medications that don't make you cough? And he said, yeah. He says, so either talk to your cardiologist and ask them if they want to change it, or ask them if they want me to change it, me being my primary care physician. So I'll probably look into that, because that coughing thing, man, it is the craziest thing. Like, I mean, I probably had, I know I had a kind of a chronic cough. It's in lisinopril. I mean, I had a cough before, but it wasn't really irritating. It was kind of, I mean, it was kind of annoying, like once in a while, just cough for no reason, but not cough so hard I thought I was going to pass out, or cough so hard, you know, that I couldn't get my breath or whatever. Oh, that's a, it's a blood pressure medication, which brings me to my next point. So I haven't really talked about this, like, on my show, like it's been a thing, but this has been a thing. So probably since my heart attack, although I don't know if it came on more recently or whatever, I have been sleeping like crazy. Now, let me kind of explain my thought process as that happened, like as I kind of became more comfortable with sleeping more often. And I mean, like, during the day, like just falling asleep, like, okay, I'm done. In fact, let me tell you how this happened. This is kind of a joke for me. So I would tell Rochelle, well, I'm going to do my cardio now, and then I'll be taking a nap for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. Because as soon as I was done with my cardio, I would cool down for like half an hour, and then I would sit down in the recliner and go to sleep. Yeah, I know. It is catching, right? You know, and some of it I thought was, it's just that time of year. Like, you know, it's winter time, you know, it's dark all the time. You know, and I do this every season. I get tired and, you know, I just want to go to sleep, you know, when it's dark all the time. And you don't have so much work to do because there's not enough light. And, you know, your farm, the portion of your farm that's food production is slow or non-existent. So you don't have to go out and do a lot of stuff. I mean, you might do a little stuff like gather up, you know, branches or debris and burn that stuff. And, you know, well, you don't really have many weeds either, because they don't even grow well in the wintertime. But anyway, so part of me was just like, you know, it's wintertime, I'm sleepy. But, you know, but to actually be so sleepy after doing my cardio, which is 40 minutes of exercise, and actually, you know, yeah, I don't know if the bear, no, they're not. The bears in Alaska, I don't think, are awake yet. But anyway, to work up a sweat, we'll do 40 minutes on, well, 20 minutes on the tread and 20 minutes on the stationary bike, and then pretty much 20 minute, you know, cool down, and then go right to sleep for 2 hours. It's not, in a way, it was funny to me, and in a way, it wasn't funny, because it's not like I could stay awake, okay? It was like an overwhelming desire to go to sleep. See what I mean about having fun? I mean, literally, this is making me laugh. All right, well, here's the deal. So I went to my physical yesterday at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I'd been up for, well, since, let's say 5 o'clock. Well, I was up at 4, but whatever. So for 8 hours, I was awake, right? And I had some stuff to do in town, so I was busy. I had, you know, probably I had my morning spiced chai. I had my morning cup of coffee, a morning spiced chai, some water, and I ate some pizza. And then I went off. And then I had a shower and went off to my physical. So it wasn't like I was laying around all day or taking it easy or whatever. And my blood pressure at my physical was 112 over 68. Now, whether you know about blood pressure or not, doesn't matter. That's a very good blood pressure for a 65-year-old dude who hasn't really ever, you know, taken the best care of himself. I mean, I take fairly good care of myself, you know, trying to stay active and not be a slug, except for those 2 hours a day I'm sleeping during the middle of the day. So when we were talking, you know, about the lisinopril, and, you know, there's three other meds that I have to take every single day. Two of them are blood pressure meds. And so the doc says, well, you know, maybe this blood pressure is why you want to sleep during the day. It's not that it's a low blood pressure, but maybe it's just low enough to put me in that kind of stupor where, you know, it's like, ah, hell with it. I'm just gonna sleep. Nothing wrong with it. It's like I have the time to sleep, you know. I mean, I do feel like it's a little bit of a waste of time because, you know, it's my time. It's time I could be having some fun doing something else. But, you know, sleeping. So anyway, I was really glad to hear that because I know what a good blood pressure is and I know what a bad blood pressure is. I know what too low blood pressure will do. If your blood pressure is too low, you don't perfuse your kidneys and you start getting very sick. And of course, if it's too high, you're prone to strokes and, you know, passing out and, you know, heart attacks and stuff. So, and this doc, I've been seeing him for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, and he has a full record of my, and we actually even talked about this, you know, about being on these drugs when I didn't have high blood pressure before my heart attack. You know, I didn't have high cholesterol, and yet I'm on a statin, so we're going to be talking about getting off of some of these things or changing them, reducing them, I don't know, something, because I just don't think I have the medical predispositions that they're trying to prevent by having me on those things. You know, I certainly want to do what I have to do to be healthy and take care of my heart and all that stuff. But, you know, if it's changing my life so much, it may be that I need to change something. But so think about this. So a cough and this sleepy time are both things that were related to the meds that I'm taking for this heart attack that I shouldn't really have had, in my opinion. And I actually talked to my doc about that. I was like, man, you know, yeah, I know I had a heart attack, but I really don't believe I had a heart attack. I mean, I know I saw it, you know, I saw the blockage, the stents and all that stuff, but, you know, it wasn't the kind of heart attack that they see every single day come into their, you know, facilities with, you know, atherosclerotic plaque or arteriosclerotic plaques build up in your arteries. It was blood clots. So I think a different animal, but they don't treat it differently, even though there's a lot of information out there about how these, you know, heart conditions are happening to 30-year-olds, for crying out loud. I'm sure 30-year-olds get treated a little differently than I would be, but, I mean, that I am. But, you know, that's the way it is. Yeah, so recently I've, you know, here we've been going through this cycle. I'm going to kind of change topics. Oh, yeah, no, one other thing. I had two kind of precancerous things burned off, liquid nitrogen frozen off, and I knew that they were precancerous because I've had them so long, and, you know, if you know the signs, you know the signs, and they were, it's kind of funny, I had one on each temple, so, and kind of right where you're, you know, if you wear a baseball cap, kind of right below where your baseball cap would be, you know, on the side of your head. That's why I started going to full brimmed hats when I'm outdoors, in the summertime especially. But, yeah, I got those burned off and everything else was fine. You know, like I said, I'm waiting on the blood work to take the fasting blood. That'll be next Friday, and take a few days to get that back. And I am going to have a chest x-ray. He just wants to be sure it's not anything other than this lisinopril cough. And then what was the other thing? Oh, my freaking shoulder, man. So in 2019, my shoulders hurt so bad, I was sure I had some kind of tear. Well, I didn't, but I had some calcium buildup in my shoulders. And so I had surgery on my right one because it was the worst. And, you know, I got done with that surgery and I was like, you know, the left one really isn't that bad. I think I'll wait a little bit. And I want to adjust the camera here. Maybe. Ugh. Let's see. Yeah, that's a little bit better. So I had my right shoulder done. It was actually pretty cool because my shoulder and my entire arm was numb for 2.5 days, which is the worst time after surgery. It's like, you know, you have the kind of initial swelling and pain and, you know, in the first 48 hours. So that first 48 hours passed while my arm from my shoulder down was numb. And when it woke up, I didn't need any pain meds. So that was kind of cool. But man, now I'm not kidding. I almost can't use my left arm. There's certain things that I absolutely cannot do with my left arm. Now, it's not 100% debilitating. But, man, there are some things that I just cannot do. And sometimes the pain is so intense. I mean, literally, it can about buckle my knees. But it's fine. I just avoid doing that certain maneuver. So I'm going to go get that checked. I'm going to get my chest x-ray, and I think everything will be fine. All right, let's go to this video. Now, one thing I was thinking, transition to this, and I'm gonna mute the can't. Oh, ha! I muted myself. That's funny. Okay, so I'm gonna have to mute it here. Yeah, let's. Okay, so now I'll play the video and kind of talk through it a little bit, and then I can stop it whenever I want and whatever. And, yeah, here we go. So it starts out, I'm in the open area that we have for sitting outside, and Dexter's there, and I call him over, and he gives a cute look to the camera. So that's Dexter, the mini Aussie. And then I start walking down to the implement building. And while I was doing this, I mean, the whole reason I kind of did the walk down is, well, because there's a few things I do whenever I'm walking the property. One thing is I'm looking to see, you know, the condition of things, like, are the trees okay? And, you know, so I walk through the orchard to get down to the implement building. And as I'm walking down to the implement building, which I do regularly, at least a couple times a week, because I go get the tractor, it's in the implement building, or I get one thing or another, I have to go down to the implement building, and I, you know, kind of check out the trees along the way, and make sure that nothing has been trampled or run over, like with the lawnmower, or, you know, broken from ice, or, you know, in the springtime, no, in the fall, you get these buck deer in velvet who want to, you know, clean their antlers off on your little tiny, you know, fruit trees and just rake the hell out of them. And, you know, they can do some damage. I don't think they intend to destroy the tree. They intend to get the stuff off their antlers, and sometimes trees don't survive. So I'm walking through the orchard, kind of checking the fruit trees to make sure that they're fine. I don't have to stake something up or you know, repair a branch or something like that. And then the other thing is I'm always looking for animal sign, you know, always looking for coyote scat or looking for raccoon toilets, because raccoons will return to the same place regularly and leave their little mess. So if they're usually it's like at the base of a stump or base of a tree or, you know, some place where they've gone to the bathroom. They're like cats. They'll just come back and go there again, like their little raccoon box. You know, or rats, like looking for rats, or now we have ground squirrels that kind of got imported here in the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years. And so these ground squirrels make big-ass holes in your ground, and then you step in them and twist an ankle, or, you know, it's just a nuisance. So if I see them start creeping in, and gophers, you know, make sure the gopher activity is the lowest it can be. We kill those things like crazy. If they start tearing up the ground, we'll just wait for them, either set traps or smoke them, or I use the gasser on the truck, you know, where I hook up the hose to the truck exhaust and just pipe exhaust fumes into their, you know, tunnel system. And that works the best. It's the most surefire way of getting rid of them, besides shooting them. But I mean, you just got to be lucky. You know, they just pop above the ground for just a second. So you have to be ready, like, to shoot, like, to literally put the squeeze on the trigger as soon as you see their furry little head, because they just come up for a second and they go back down, you know. So you miss a lot shooting gophers. You probably miss two or three many times as you actually hit. So, but anyway, I'm always looking for any of that, like gopher damage, coyote scat, rabbit holes, raccoon dens, ground squirrel damage, rats and mice. And of course, the rest of the year, when the ground is above 55 degrees, I'm always looking for snakes, because I love a nice, healthy snake population. They keep down a lot of those rodents, you know. They eat gopher babies and rat babies and mice babies, and they're a great animal to have on your property. Now, the poisonous ones I probably wouldn't be too thrilled about, but, you know, all these kind of regular snakes we have is fine. They seem to take care of business here, and it makes me pretty happy. All right, so I'm going to continue playing the video, because the next thing, as I get to the implement building, the reason I, you know, am showing this video is because we just got our first load of locally made chicken feed. Now, we had to buy it by the ton. They divide it into 6 barrels. So that's like 300 and something pounds per barrel. It's probably 350, 65 pounds per barrel, something like that. And they're nice sealed barrels, you know, so the rats and mice can't get in, or if they're in there, they can't get out. But here's 5 of the barrels I'm showing in this picture. I'm surprised. There's no lighting in this implement building at all. And I'm actually kind of surprised you can see so well in there. That GoPro, man, it really does a good job of picking up on light. So anyway, 5 of the barrels we put down here in the implement building. And then, of course, you get to see a little bit of the John Deere tractor as I walk in and walk out. That thing is a beast, man. I think there's one thing I wish I would have got when I first got a piece of property that I thought I would never leave, is I should have had a tractor much earlier in the game. Like, anybody who's like getting property right now, man, if you can find it and find a deal, which somebody in the chat room earlier this week I was talking to, and sure enough, they found a piece of property, 7 acres with a pond in Arkansas. And great soil for growing food. It has some trees. It has some brush. You know, it's in a town of like 1,000 people or something. It sounds fantastic. But anyway, go get yourself a tractor if there's not one on the property or not one that comes with the property. Because, God dang, they save you a lot of backbreaking work. So this week, you know, we had the septic guy come out because we're going to put in a new septic tank. Not a system. We don't have to redo the system. The drain yard is great. Not a problem with that. We've already been in there several times in the last, I don't know how many years, for other reasons, because we broke a pipe using a tractor where we shouldn't have been. But the drain field is fine. It's just they used to make these septic tanks out of, you know, iron, like cast iron, and they eventually just rot and cave in, and ours is on the verge of doing that. So we're going to put in a brand new one, concrete, and so we had those guys out this week, and yeah, I was thinking at the time, oh my gosh, I am so glad I had that tractor for so many of those jobs. You know, and we put these giant posts in. I mean, giant. They're like, you know, 20-inch, well, yeah, 20-inch diameter trees, tree, you know, poles, logs is what I'm getting at, and, you know, 14 feet long, so we had to dig down quite a ways to get them in the ground enough that they'd be solid. And they, you know, treated logs, creosote treated logs or whatever, as a retaining wall. So we use those anyway. So, yeah, having that tractor, man, has just been a blessing. So then I take you up to the chicken coop to show you the 6-barrel. I don't know why. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew I got 6 barrels in case somebody was like, oh, how come you didn't, you only got 5 barrels, not 6. Well, there's 6 barrels. One is in the coop, and the other 5 are in the implement building. And then we're going to walk up because I wanted to cover the other things that are kind of updates around the homestead this year. So I kind of take a trip around the chicken coop here, kind of show you where the chickens are. Oh, that was unfortunate. And by show you where the chickens are, what I mean is, you know, they were out and about. They weren't in the chicken coop. So, you know, I've always talked about our chickens and, you know, how many eggs we're getting. We're getting over 12 eggs a day now. And actually, even one of the grandkids was saying today, you know, we really ought to sell these eggs. And I was like, yeah, we should. We give too many away. But I, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing either. I think it's good for the community, honestly. So anyway, I'm showing you the chickens here, and of course there's one duck in the middle of everything, and we had two, but what happened? I think a raccoon or a coyote got the other duck because it was left out overnight. It didn't make it in the chicken coop. You know, everything gets locked in at night, so they're protected, and, you know, if you don't count every critter, you know, one gets left out, and they get eaten, because predators are, they're opportunistic, man. They don't screw around. They want a free meal as much as the next guy, and domestic fowl are pretty fair game. You know, they don't put up much of a fight. Okay, so now I'm taking you back to the greenhouse in this video. And Bear shows up, and he is loving me up here. So you get to see Bear giving me some loves. And then he'll take off running. He thinks we're going somewhere, so he's, you know, hot after it. And what we're going to do is we're going to go in the greenhouse and look at the plants that are in the hydroponic unit, because they're doing so good, man. It's crazy. We had a little bit of a setback right after we fired up this hydroponic unit. Like, everything was fine. Took us a little bit to figure out how much root to extend beyond the plug, which is the little kind of foam plug you put your plants in, but you have to make sure that root is touching the water or it's just going to dry up and die. And but you can see these plants, man, they're like six inches tall, some of them. Most of them are 6 inches tall, so let's say 4 to 6 inches tall. But we had a freeze right after we put all these plants out there, and we lost some of them, like, I don't know, 20, let's say. So you can see where we replanted some. Like, you can tell which ones are kind of the latecomers. And then we show the seedling planter we use to get seedlings started, and the little water system that's feeding this hydroponic unit. So you really get to see it all, you know, and get an idea of how far it's come from the 4, 5, 6 weeks that we've had it running. And it's really going good now, because our temperatures are not quite, even though we've had snow, we've barely been on the edge of freezing. And then we're going to go in the house, and here's Ruby, the golden retriever, and Dexter. So you get to see them. She's going to pick up her ball, because that's what she does. She always got to give you a gift. You know, she's a retriever, so she's going to bring something to you. What a beautiful little girl she is. And taking in the house where we have some chicks right now that are Jersey Giant chicks, because that's the line we're going to start breeding to get meat birds. Now, we're already prepared to grow some meat birds with the setup we have. But the rooster we have, he's a pretty big rooster, but Jersey Giants are giant. They're big, and they produce a lot of food. So I take you in to show you like 5 or 6 chicks, and there's one turkey in there. And then we come into the studio here, because I wanted to show you the fermentation I have going, the fermentations I have going. And I got to check something here. Yeah, we're good. Everything's still working. Don't worry. So I have, in this video, you can see so one jar has carrots, jalapenos, and onion in it. The other jar just has jalapenos in it. Now, the base for both of those fermentations is, of course, your brine, which it turns out seems like the standard is 1 teaspoon of salt per cup of water, roughly. Like, that seems what I'm almost every recipe I've checked out is somewhere close to that, and it seems to be working. So, like, if you just remember 1 teaspoon per cup of water, you're going to be fine. And then just garlic and red pepper flake in these two, in the carrots and the jalapenos. So, and then I have almost screwed everything up right there. And then I have this gardeniera in a jar that is cauliflower, celery, carrots, onion, and yeah, I think that's it. And that is going to go for about 3 more weeks. The other two jars have the carrots and the jalapenos just have 1 more week to go. And then we'll taste test them and see how they are. All right, so let's go over here, get back on this little camera. All right, so that was the little tour of the homestead and what's going on. I got to sneeze. That's going to suck. hang on one sec. Oh, so good. I know what I wanted to do. Hang on, I really have to sneeze. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Okay. There's a couple of stories, but I don't think this is that interesting, so I may not talk about that. That's kind of weird. Oh my God, I do have to tell you this. So a member of the family who does not live here actually came down with COVID. And this guy is one of those guys, like, got the shots, got the boosters, does everything his doc tells him to do, right? And he got sicker than hell. He said it's the worst he's ever felt. It's the most sick he's ever been. So I'm just saying, take it for what it's worth, but that is what he said. Now, he feels much better today. Like, this was literally in the last 3 days this happened. And, yeah, so there you go. It's kind of funny, man. I give as much as advice as I can, but you know, notice how, well, number one, it's not my family, it's Rochelle's. But still, it's like they don't pay attention. I told him before, like, hey, if, you know, you can avoid the whole thing, you know, you can take ivermectin, you can take hydroxychloroquine, you can smoke. That's kind of funny. Oh, but, you know, those kind of things could help. And of course, I wouldn't encourage somebody to smoke who doesn't already smoke. But you could put a nicotine patch on or something, you know. It would help. But no. You know, I'm just one of those crazy people. Yeah, you could vape. You could get a little Nick vape in there going. Won't hurt you. So what else? Oh, I know. This is what I really wanted to kind of cover for today. Because things are crazy, right? We got to do something, or you should prepare to do something. That's what I would like to say. Man, if you already have a hookup on food, a food connection, that's awesome. If you have ground or pots that you can grow food in, man, I really believe it's awesome. I wanted to talk about three foods that I think are the best foods to have, like either grow or produce or whatever. And of course, fermentation is going to be high on that list, man, because if you can get your hands on some veggies and ferment them, you're going to get them to last months longer than they would just sitting in the refrigerator tray or sitting in the root cellar. Well, maybe not. But yeah, fermenting them is going to extend the life of them, and you get that added bonus because of the probiotics. I've already talked about it because I've become crazy about it in the last few months. But honestly, it's a good way to keep food around. Now, the other thing I talk about all the time is sprouts. And the reason is because sprouts have a ton of nutrition, and all you have to do is add water. You just put some seeds in a jar, soak them for 24 hours in the dark would be good. And then you drain the water off, and you just, it'll rinse the seeds probably 2 times a day for 4 days, and you have a jar full of sprouts. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, you hate sprouts, right? And you might, because usually in the store, all you get is alfalfa sprouts. Now, there's nothing wrong with alfalfa sprouts. They're full of nutrition. I'm showing on the screen here, but I'm not because I'm on the wrong setting. Here we go. So I'm showing on the screen here sprouts. And what's great about this is look at all of the different kind of sprouts you can actually have. So I'm just going to read through some. And trust me, like these sprouts literally taste like the vegetable that they're going to grow up to be. So it's kind of cool. You're not stuck with alfalfa sprouts. And I'll give you a little hint. My favorite is a mix of some bean sprouts, some alfalfa sprouts, some radish sprouts, some broccoli, mung bean, azukis. But anyway, look here. So you have broccoli, alfalfa, mung bean. There's a five-part salad mix, which I can't remember what's in there. Five-part, let's see. So in their five-part salad mix is... I should have looked at this ahead of time, huh? Let's see what's in here. Okay, I can't find it. Includes sometimes messy broccoli. No. Okay. I don't like a lot of quiet time on the microphone either. But anyway, so this five-part salad mix has like some bean sprouts, alfalfa sprouts, radish, and lentils, and something else. And you can try each one of these sprouts yourself. Like you could just grow any one of these sprouts alone, or you can mix and match them. So let's see what else. Here's the protein powerhouse mix. Red clover, green peas, a three-part salad mix, sunflowers, radish seeds, crunchy lentil fest mix, it says. Wheat, garbanzo beans, bean salad mix, buckwheat, Chinese cabbage, onion, basic sprouting kit right here. I'm telling you, it's so crazy, you guys. If you had 1 pound of sprouts, 1 pound of sprouting seeds, I mean, you would be able to feed yourself for probably a few months, because you literally only use a tablespoon, like if you're doing it in a mason jar, probably 1 tablespoon, maybe 2 tablespoons. If you use this tray here, I'm going to zero in on this tray so you can see it. So that tray is about the size of a dinner plate, maybe a 10 inch dinner plate. And I put 2 tablespoons of sprouts in that tray to grow some sprouts, you know. And what I'm trying to say is, for one person, you know, if you filled that tray and it was survival times, you'd be eating that for like 3 or 4 days, like to keep yourself nourished and have some good nutrition that you knew what was in it. Because God dang it, man, it seems like the other thing they're doing right now is screwing with the food supply, or trying to mess it up in one way or another, or trying to poison us with something, you know, coming in the food supply. And I mean, at least if you do this, you already have an idea what is going into this. These beans from this company is all organic. This is called, this is TrueLeafMarket.com. It used to be called WheatGrassKits.com, which is kind of funny because I used to just only order my sprouting stuff from there anyway. But they were really big on the wheatgrass kit thing. Oh, and microgreens, you know, microgreens is another good thing. It's kind of the next step, I think, above sprouting, is actually growing microgreens. Let's see, do they have microgreen kits here? I don't know. Growing. Yeah, microgreen kits. Let's check that out. Hydroponic, no. Soil-based, no. Sectioning, hydroponic. I don't know any of this stuff. I should know, but I don't. Let's look at this hydroponic microgreen starter. Oh, there you go. Now, see, and so look at these. You get, you know, you get things bigger than a sprout. You get more kind of a dense microgreens, and you get the green part. You know, in sprouts, right when they start photosynthesizing and making chlorophyll, that's kind of when you eat them, so you don't give them much chance to get that healthy green going. But look at that, man. I mean, that just looks good. And I mean, I know, I get it. I think a lot of people are like, yeah, God, sprouts, you know, I don't like sprouts. Yeah, you may not like sprouts, but if it's something that you could grow yourself in 4 days, like 4 to 7 days max, you're going to have some food, some nutrition, something healthy for you to eat and sustain your life. And literally, you could take a pound of seeds, you know, in a container with you wherever you're going, and just keep these things growing and keep yourself fed. Yeah, I know it'd be hard to get seeds on the road, but you know, if you got, I'm telling you, if you packed a couple pounds of, you know, pack a pound of these things and get water along the way, you'll continue to feed yourself until you can get to the next place where you can get some more. But, okay, so last but certainly not least is growing potatoes. Because you can get a ton of nutrition from potatoes. Now, potatoes aren't going to just grow instantly. And, you know, you're going to have the whole crop there ready to eat in a few weeks. But if you do it right, you can get a sustainable number of potatoes going and just pull out what you need. And even in the winter time, you know, when they're done growing, they keep pretty well for a while. So you can put them in a root cellar. You can leave them in the ground even and just pull them out when you need them. And pull some out to start your crop the next year too. And you can order up starter potatoes, or you can just bring potatoes from wherever you see potatoes. And if they're growing a little green stem on them, just cut that plug out and put it in the ground. And it should take off if the soil is any kind of decent at all. We have kind of really crappy soil up here. Pretty clay, kind of clay-based soil. And we still do pretty good with potatoes. I'm sure not anywhere near like the people in the valley here do with the topsoil that they have. But, you know, we do pretty good, not complaining. Mainly our biggest problem has been deer eating the tops off our potatoes, and then they didn't grow. But last year we didn't do that hot either, because we didn't grow the potatoes where the deer couldn't get to them, but we had an area where we had it blocked out so deer couldn't get to our garden. But then we put the potatoes outside the garden. But listen, I'll tell you this. I've grown potatoes in a tire before, and you're going to hear arguments against that, like the tire has some kind of poison in it that's going to just, you know, contaminate your potatoes. Okay, that could be true, I guess. I don't know. You know, maybe just growing the potatoes in a giant mound of dirt and just adding dirt to the pile every time the potato green gets about 6 inches taller. So this is the way you do this. You put the potatoes in about 6 inches of dirt, right? Nicely tilled up dirt. And you let them grow. And when they get about 6 or 8 inches tall, you cover half that plant with dirt. So when your plants are, let's say, 8 inches tall, you put 4 more inches of dirt around that plant. Well, actually, even 6 more inches of dirt, because you want just a barely little bit of that leaf sticking up above the dirt so it'll keep growing. And as it grows, you'll get larger potatoes at the very bottom and smaller potatoes closer to the top of the potato plant. And the more dirt you add, like we have a tractor tire that probably makes 2 feet. Yeah, probably like 2 feet of dirt. And we kind of put a handful of potatoes in there and start filling it up. And every time a plant grows, we fill it up some more. And we get when I've done it that way and kept the deer out of it, we got a pretty good batch of potatoes. And then at the end of the year, you could just pull the tire off or lift it off with your tractor and dig through and get the potatoes. Guess what? We're out of time. Thanks so much for listening. Catch me every Wednesday and Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern.